from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
With the 30th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Nate Wiggins, defensive back, Clemson.
It gives us another quality starting corner. I'd say we got three legitimate starting corners. He's got to come and improve it and do it and all that, but we expect him to do it. We were excited. We were looking for Nate.
ELE, John Harbaugh, everybody love everybody. Nate Wiggins, 30th pick. First round of the 2024 NFL Draft out of Clemson. You're at Roger Goodell, announced that pick 2 months ago. Yeah. More than 2 months ago, yeah. Believe it or not. But now we're less than a week away from them. Rookies reporting for training camp 2024. And what we're going to do throughout the course of the week is talk about this class of 2024, the drafted players. Maybe there's a sleeper undrafted player or two that we'll keep an eye on. But as we're 5 days away, we'll start with their first pick, filling a position of need, Nate Wiggins at cornerback.
Yeah, Nate Wiggins, jersey number 2. Bob, it came down to him and the Iowa kid, DeJean.
Oh, Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, and you know, because when Ken and I were doing the draft, we both thought it was going to be DeJean, and it might have been if they didn't need an outside corner, just because DeJean doesn't run, you know, that fast. He might have been able to be the safety, kind of like a Mallette kind of guy. So Wiggins, 6'1", 182, ran 4.28, fastest time at the combine, 1.5910, which is an explosive start. He was a junior when he came out. 36-inch vertical jump, 10'7" broad jump. In 2021, played in all 11 games as a reserve. Had 3 tackles, 3 passes broken up. 22, 11 starts, 22 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 12 passes broken up, 1 interception, return for a touchdown, and 1 block kick. 23, this past year, 10 games, 7 starts, missed 2 due to injury, 25 tackles, 9 PBUs, 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown, 1 sack. Had a 44.4 quarterback rating when targeted. people didn't like to target him that much. His strengths, great speed, height, run skill after picks. He's got excellent run skill, excellent burst and hands. He's got catch-up speed, good break on the ball, good in press, uses his hands well. He can turn and run, can plant, drive, excellent burst, has some explosiveness, hitting, he'll tackle, outstanding burst, good getting hands on in press. He can mirror wide receiver in press, long frame, excellent short area quicks, good patience in zone. Weakness, skinny frame, gets high in his pedal, must play the deep ball better, high in pedal, question deep ball. Size hurts versus physical wide receivers. Needs work on pedal plant drive. Raw in technique, gets too high and on his heels. Shorter arms, 30.5-inch arms, 9-inch hands. Needs to get stronger, finish tackling with his frame. In summary, Nate has elite speed and height. Needs to add strength and bulk to hold up in the NFL. He's raw in pedal. Some plays high, but he shows great burst. Did see little trouble with the deep ball. If he adds weight, can be excellent prospect. Can't coach speed. And to me, what you see out at training camp is, I mean, that was college report that I wrote after the film that I watched. And first thing that I said when I saw him was, he looks skinny. And he is. And he needs to get bigger, stronger in the weight room. He needs to lift more weights just to be able to hold up versus, you know, the bigger wide receivers and things. And the deep ball, I didn't really see any issues with the deep ball because I didn't really see any deep balls against him. I saw a guy that looked cocky, confident, and I thought his pedal was good. He wasn't challenged that much at the Ravens either. So he's going to get a lot more work. And when we get the pads on, we're going to see, or, you know, next week when, or in 2 weeks when they start, we're going to see one-on-ones and all those things and where he's going to play press. And like I said, when we do get the pads on, how does he handle it there? And in tackling, I don't think we're going to, when's the first preseason game? I think that's when we'll see him tackle, you know, the first time we're going to see him tackle. So, there's still some issues, but he's got a ton of talent. And the thing is with Marlon Humphrey, with his situation, Nate Wiggins has got to be a guy that they're going to fast forward to where he's got to play games, and he's going to be on the field playing against Kansas City, I would think.
Now, at 30, he wasn't a reach for them there, and it does fill a position of need. Cooper DeJean, by the way, went 10 picks later to Philadelphia.
Yep.
In the second round, but was it a reach for him
with
that 30th pick? A guy that we heard Eric DaCosta say, we just heard John Harbaugh, they've loved all along.
Well, you gotta
took a victory lap when they took this guy.
Yeah, you gotta love his. You gotta love the speed. And I thought he would probably go earlier just because of he was the fastest defensive player at the combine, and we're gonna see September 5th the fastest guy at the combine, Xavier Worthy, when he lines up with the Chiefs. But with Wiggins, it wasn't a reach at all. I thought either he or Cooper DeJean would have been a good pick at that spot. You know, they've both been productive guys, and they can run, they can jump, they can play. He's made plays on balls. You know, he did have where he missed some time in 23, missed two games due to injury. But no, I think they feel really good about him, Bob, and they're going to use him a lot, press coverage. And just like they did with Stevens, I think that's the best way for him to learn. Stevens, that's all I saw him do with the first training camp and stuff he was at. All he did was line up and press. I think they're going to line up him up and press a lot because he's going to have to play. I'm thinking, Bob, those burner guys, I mean, Kansas City's got Marquise Brown and Xavier Worthy, both guys that can fly. So they may have to have him lined up because he's one of the guys that can run with them.
So he's an immediate starter or contributor for sure. If he's not getting big snaps September 5th, what are we talking about here? barring injury, of course, because Kyle Hamilton took a while to get himself acclimated to the next level. We all know how that's turned out for him.
Yeah, I would say, Bob, and I was going to say, if he's not getting reps early in the season, he missed some time with injury because he's got to. I mean, that's why they drafted him. With Marlon Humphrey in the situation, he didn't practice maybe a couple plays, Bob, the all of OTAs and minicamp. And he missed 10 games, or he played in 10 games last year. So he missed, what, 8 or 9? So they've got to have a guy that can be a starter and that can run. That's the thing is like they felt like DeGene wasn't an outside corner. That's why they went with Wiggins. Wiggins is an outside corner because of that speed. So he's got to do it. Here, Armour Davis is going to be that guy. I mean, if Humphreys is not there, it's either Wiggins or Armour Davis starting.
And by the way, speaking of Marlon Humphrey, today's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Marlon.
He turns 28 years old. We talk about him like he's 38 years old, but Marlon Humphrey only 28 years old. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. When we get to NFL lunch, going to talk about Roger Rosengarten. Now, if he's starting, is that a good or bad thing? And we'll elaborate because there's two different ways to look at it. Eric at home, NFL.com, bottom of the hour. When we come back, however, let's count that dough, a little buy or sell. It's Vinny and Andy and Nolan here on this Monday, 105.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Orioles are off today. They take 2 out of 3 from Oakland. 6-3 yesterday. Grayson Rodriguez, 11th win. Kimbrel is 23rd save. Taters and Kerstad both go yard. So the Orioles come back home 3 games up in the American League East. We'll talk more about that in the 1 o'clock hour American League East report and more in depth with Rich Dubraw from BaltimoreBaseball.com. But plenty going on in the world of sports. We'll get to as much as we can. But right now, let's count that dough by ourselves.
All righty. The Dow is down 78. The S&P is down 2. NASDAQ's up 27, DraftKings up 79 cents, and Under Armour up a quarter.
All right, we'll start here in the NFL. We know it takes a full 53-man roster and then some to make a quality football team, some players more essential than others, but it's always going to be about the collective sum, and there's always going to be underrated or underappreciated pieces of any team. So a recent article here by Tyler Sullivan identifies one underappreciated member or the most underrated member of each team. The pick for the Ravens, Patrick Ricard. And as Sullivan notes here, the fullback position in itself is kind of underappreciated at this point. You don't really see many traditional standalone fullbacks anymore. But Ricard continues to be important to the Ravens offense, even with a new system. There were questions last year as to what his role would be when they moved from Roman to Monken, but we saw that he was still pretty heavily used in 2023. Vinny, are you buying or selling that he may be the Ravens' most underappreciated piece?
He would probably be in. I would say that Lindenbaum may be one of those guys too. But yeah, you could go ahead and say that, or even like a Michael Pierce who had, you know, 40 tackles. But yeah, the thing with Ricard, he's a blocker, and in Monken's system, they use him to block, you know, quite a bit, move and block. He's maybe have to be that blocking tight end. If Kohler can't get it done, then it'll be on Ricard.
Does Henry's presence change anything about Ricard's role? Does it make him even more valuable?
Well, it makes him more valuable if Kohler's not a great blocker. That's where it's going to make him valuable, because they're going to need somebody to lead up in the hole. Because to help set the edges and stuff, Kohler's got to be able to set the edges, which a tight end needs to do, because the problem that they have is Andrew's not a great blocker, and neither's Likely. Whereas Kohler, you know, he's 6'7", like 270, and he couldn't block in college, but he's gotten better and he's become a better technician. All he's got to be is a good technician. He doesn't have to knock people off the ball.
Go over to baseball here. The Yankees, they've been a mess as of late, but one individual performance gave their fans something to celebrate over the weekend. Rookie first baseman Ben Rice homered three times in Saturday's win over Boston. And since Anthony Rizzo went down with his fractured forearm, Rice has been the main replacement at first. Some wondered if the Yankees would try to trade for someone a little more notable to fill that position in the time being. But in the 18 games that Rice has been playing since Rizzo went down, batting over 270, 12 RBIs as well. Buy or sell, Bob, Rice is the Yankees' answer at first base. No trade necessary.
I'll soft buy that, because I was watching that game Saturday. Boston was actually winning 3-0. And then Yankees tied it. Rice hit his first homer. And then Devers hit a bomb off of Gerrit Cole, who then he... All right, I get bat flips are all part of the equation nowadays, but he flipped the bat. I think he sauteed the bat. I think he cut it into hors d'oeuvres. Then he decided to take his trot around the bases, and Gerrit Cole was giving him the death stare the entire way around, and then Cole got hooked, so I didn't get to face him again. But, Rice, he was the difference in that game, because Boston was looking like they might be sweeping New York. But as a side, Gerrit Cole, Devers, it'll be interesting to see when they face each other again.
And Bob, those three homers, they were no doubters.
And I think this kid grew up a Yankee fan, too.
Yeah.
We won't hold that against him. Just don't damage the Orioles.
He was from Boston, grew up a Yankee fan.
Well, good for him.
Nobody's perfect. back to the NFL. The Patriots, they've actually handed out some big contract extensions on their defense this offseason, but Matt Judon has not been one of them. He's about to enter the final season of that four-year deal that he signed with New England after he left Baltimore, and is seemingly a little disgruntled since he skipped the voluntary portion of their practice schedule this offseason. There was also some social media posts where he seems to be hinting at his exit from New England. But what will it take for them to trade him? Buy or sell, Vinny? He'll have to wait, but Judon will be with another team by the deadline this season.
I'll soft buy that. I just, what's Judon now? Like close to 30, right? I would think he's close to that. And
31.
Yeah, you got a defensive head coach who was on the defensive staff the whole time that he was there, and he's missed some time with injuries as of late. Maybe they feel like he's kind of heading the other direction, and they're kind of in a rebuild anyhow. Why pay him a ton of money when we know we're going to lose anyhow?
How about a little NBA here? The Warriors, they wasted little time finding a Klay Thompson replacement, landing Buddy Hield in a sign-and-trade with Philly. While Steph Curry continues to be the three-point king in the NBA, Buddy Hield may be the closest thing to him in terms of stats. There's been 22 cases of a player hitting 270 threes in a season in NBA history. As you would imagine, Curry accounts for a good chunk of them, 9 of the 22. Klay Thompson accounts for 2 of the 22, and Hield 4 seasons with at least 273 pointers. So Steph and Klay, they were known as the Splash Brothers for the longest time, their peak dominance and title runs. But buy or sell, Bob, the Hield and Curry pairing can be just as successful.
I'll buy that now because Buddy Hield. Why do they seem more memorable, though? The Curry, Klays, and Buddy Hield doing all these fabulous things, and he's basically been coming off the bench a lot during his career. Remember, he helped, was it Oklahoma, get to the Final Four? Mm-hmm. You knew that? That magical run?
Yeah, I watched it.
But I think he might be an upgrade over Klay Thompson, who could be looking to redeem himself in Dallas this year. That's going to be an interesting story to watch as well out west. Thompson, because Michael Thompson, his father, wanted him, Klay, to sign with the Lakers, but he decided to go to Dallas. So already a little intrigue with that one.
And we'll close with this here. Joe Burrow, he's back to full health as training camp approaches. A welcome sight for Bengals fans as he's dealt with a handful of major and minor setbacks throughout his brief career. In the 4 years that he's been the starter there, they've made the AFC Championship game twice, both of the seasons where he's been healthy enough to play a full season. The other 2 years where he was hurt with significant injuries, they missed the playoffs altogether. Of course, the rest of the roster has changed significantly over the years. They'll be much different this year than they were last year. But, Vinny, buy or sell, the only thing standing in the way of the Bengals making the AFC Championship game is the health of Joe Burrow.
I'll soft buy that a little bit. I mean, the biggest thing with Burrow is get through training camp. He can't get through training camp is his problem, and then they start out so poorly because he's missed most of training camp. I mean, I would kind of baby him through training camp just to get him to the regular season.
Now, Nolan, I know, getting back to Judon real quick, baseball-wise, you would frown upon a reunion with Jack Flaherty, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be cool with a Judon reunion here in Baltimore?
Well, the need is so desperate, Ravens-wise, that I don't think you can say no to any option. He would be one of them.
Right player, right price. Right.
I mean, what would it take in a trade to land him? I mean, he's not going to go for a seventh rounder. You're not going to get him for nothing. So you weigh your options, but I don't think he'd hate coming back, quite frankly, without knowing him personally. I think, you know, going from New England and the situation they're in to the Ravens being a Super Bowl contender, I think he'd be about it.
What about a little Yannick Ngakoue reunion there right now? Looking for work as a free agent.
Different scheme than when he was here last time. I don't know what Zach Orr's defense looks like in full, but you would think that probably a better situation for him than under Wink, so that's an option as well.
Yeah, and 4 games last year, talking about Yannick Ngakoue, former Terp, 4 games with the Bears, he had 4 sacks. 4 sacks for Chicago, and still relatively young is Yannick Ngakoue at 29 years old. It's Vinny at 81.057. The Fan. We'll come back, talk some NFL with Eric Edholm from NFL.com. Go to the Funhouse since we couldn't do it in the 12 o'clock hour. NFL Lines, talk more about the Ravens rookie class of 2024. We'll start with a second round draft pick after we talked about Nate Wiggins a few minutes ago. American League East report, busy weekend in the division. Nobody in the division playing tonight, however, but we'll still give you the standings and scores and all that fun stuff. And then Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com, talking about the first place by 3 games Orioles off tonight. 5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan here on this Monday. Bob Eddy, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Orioles are off today. Cubbies coming to town, 3-game set.
Starting tomorrow, we'll talk more about that. And the 1 o'clock hour, Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. But Ravens rookies will be here in less than a week. A week from today, quarterbacks and injured vets show up. 2 weeks from today, the Ravens will already have a practice or two in them, or a training camp practice, that is. So it's almost here, everybody. And here to talk about the upcoming training camp portion of the National Football League Fund from NFL.com. Let's welcome back to the show, Eric Edholm. Eric, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore, man. What's happening?
Yeah, not much. I hope you guys had a good holiday week and all that.
It's not over yet. You know what I mean? But anyway, September 5th, Ravens and Chiefs open the season rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. Aside from Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, the most important player on each team is who?
Ooh, good question. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm sure a lot of people are going to, you know, look to Derrick Henry as a big addition. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think he's going to definitely be part of the cog. You know, you'd also maybe nominate somebody like Zay Flowers. Can he step up to that proverbial next level, if you will? So yeah, there's a few different players I could make a case for, and you know, obviously defensively, it's going to be important for them to maintain some level of competency and be one of those top five units again. For Kansas City, I would think it's probably Chris Jones after they traded Legarius Sneed. I mean, that's puts more pressure on their defense, a defense that often was kind of the backbone, if you will, the group that maybe held that team together while it was, I don't want to say floundering, because they were never terrible last year, but there was definitely a time when the Chiefs weren't in that Super Bowl conversation for a minute, or at least at the bottom end of it. So, yeah, that's kind of the direction I would probably tend to head.
Eric, do you think, because I was thinking that the Ravens have Kansas City really at the best time they could. I mean, you look at Kelsey, I don't know how much working out he's doing, because he's in London, he's in Dublin, you know, he's all over the place at these Swift concerts and stuff. And so getting them, and you got, you know, new wide receiver with Marquise, new wide receiver with Worthy. So playing them on September 5th, you think that's the best time to play them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you could say, hey, look, here's a team that lost in the opener last year to the Lions at home, you know, didn't play their best football really until December. So there's absolutely a case to be made for that. I think the Chiefs also look back at last year and say, hey, we left some meat on the bone in that opener. And again, it's one game, different matchup and all that stuff. But yeah, I would tend to say that playing a team that's, you know, and everybody's undergoing changes, but, you know, they're trying to identify people not named Travis Kelce who they can depend on offensively. And, you know, there's that offensive line that may, you know, we have maybe glossed over a little bit and said, okay, they're fine there, but are they? You know, that's another question that rises up. But then again, you could say the same for the Ravens, too. They've got to figure out some jobs up front. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it kind of works both ways, I think.
Eric, what about the AFC East? What do you think happened? You know, I mean, Tua's, you know, they're working on his contract. Tyreek Hill wants a contract. Who knows who the receivers are in Buffalo? Can Rodgers stay healthy? What do you think about the East?
Yeah, obviously the Bills are the team that I think a lot of people are looking at and saying, hey, they're just not going to be as good as last year. And maybe that's the case. I just have a hard time writing them off completely. I know they, you know, had the early bloodletting in free agency and then decided, hey, Stephon Diggs, you know, we can get something for him and shed that contract from our rolls. Let's do that now. I think you'd always want to trade a guy a year early than a year late, and I think that's probably the case here. But there was also kind of a shift towards getting away from him and not using Gabe Davis or trying to depend on him as much. So they were already starting to prepare for that last year. I don't think they're going to start out like gangbusters. There'll be a period where we kind of are figuring out how much can Josh Allen shoulder the load himself. How much is that defense going to be able to hold up? They lost guys on that side. So they're the fascinating one to me. Obviously the Jets, you could say, are fascinating too, given that, you know, last year went sideways, what, four plays into the season. So, you know, there's a big range of outcomes for them. That defense is good. You know, Breece Hall is good. Garrett Wilson is good. If they are at all competent offensively and Rodgers is healthy, they'll have a chance. So, you know, Miami is kind of in the middle in the sense that, You know, they were the, you know, regular season heroes, started out really well, and then all those injuries mounted. They lost some key guys this offseason, O-line, D-line. The trenches aren't nearly as strong. And I think you put the Patriots fourth until further notice, but it's a pretty intriguing top three right there. I mean, that, you know, that's three teams that you can make a case for 7-9, or you can make a case for, you know, 12-5, 13-4 for all three of them, I think.
Now, an interesting one's going to be the AFC South. I mean, Lawrence just got paid. You know, what's he going to be? Can Houston be like they were last year? Is C.J. Stroud going to be that good? What's Will Levis like? And then Richardson, you know, we don't know really much about him either.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there are four young quarterbacks in that division that, you know, if Levis pays off, you know, he could be a surprise. Obviously, Richardson and, you know, in about a game and a half last year, you know, total ever all the snaps he took, it wasn't that many. But there were some intriguing skills there. And yet he's still kind of dealing with some shoulder pain. They say he's going to be ready. Who knows? But if those two develop and emerge at all as playmakers, we don't look at the AFC South the same way, I don't think. So they're, you know, Tennessee loaded up in free agency. They traded for Snead. They went out and got a playmaker in Calvin Ridley. You know, beefed up the O-line with their first-round pick and Lloyd Cushenberry. And, you know, Jacksonville was 8-3 at one point before tailing off last year. They were the team on the come that everyone's excited about. And then the Texans kind of sweep through and shock everybody last year. Now they're the young and up-and-coming team. So, again, I there's a lot of excitement in the AFC South all of a sudden. And it starts with the quarterback position. If that position develops, now you're talking about a really, really intriguing four teams here.
Eric, in the NFL, who could be that team like Houston was this past year? Who's going to be that team that shocks everybody? It's like, damn, where'd they come from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think I've heard people suggest a lot of different options for this. I've heard, you know, maybe the Washington Redskins are an interesting one. I mean, or Commanders, I should say. Excuse me.
That's all right.
Old habits and all that, right?
I got that. I'm right there with you. So is
you
Bob.
You do it for 25 years, and that's what happens. But, yeah, if Jaden Daniels is, I mean, I think he's got to be right there, 1A, 1B with Caleb Williams for Rookie of the Year, early, you know, projections and all that. Because if you keep him healthy, he's got a number one receiver. They'll forge a run game. Maybe the defense can make some strides. If he leads them to wins, we know how down everyone has been over the last couple of decades on the whole. You know, I think that'll earn them a lot of sentiment. I think they could be a team that surprises people. They had a quietly sound off season. I really thought that Adam Peters did some smart targeted additions. I thought the draft kind of came to them very nicely and lined up well. So there's some stuff to get excited about. And you could poke some holes in Dallas. They have some things going on, even after a great regular season. Philly is a talented team that should be back, but no guarantees on that. I mean, we saw how frustrating things were last year. And then, you know, I mean, I just think there's a chance with the Giants still kind of deciding what their identity is, especially quarterback. Maybe Washington's a team that sneaks up on some people this year.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan here on this Monday. Bob Eddy, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Orioles are off today. Cubbies coming to town, three-game set. Start tomorrow. We'll talk more about that in the 1 o'clock hour. Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. But Ravens rookies will be here in less than a week. A week from today, quarterbacks and injured vets show up. 2 weeks from today, the Ravens will already have a practice or two in them, or a training camp practice, that is. So it's almost here, everybody. And here to talk about the upcoming training camp portion of the National Football League Fund from NFL.com. Let's welcome back to the show Eric Edholm. Eric, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore, man. What's happening?
Yeah, not much. I hope you guys had a good holiday week and all that.
It's not over yet. You know what I mean? But anyway, September 5th, Ravens and Chiefs open the season rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. Aside from Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, the most important player on each team is who?
Ooh, good question. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm sure a lot of people are going to, you know, look to Derrick Henry as a big addition. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's, I think he's going to definitely be part of the cog. You know, you'd also maybe nominate somebody like Zay Flowers. Can he step up to that proverbial next level, if you will? So yeah, there's a few different players I could make a case for, and you know, obviously defensively, it's going to be important for them to maintain some level of competency and be one of those top five units again. For Kansas City, I would think it's probably Chris Jones after they traded Legarius Sneed. I mean, that's a, you know, puts more pressure on their defense, a defense that often was kind of the backbone, if you will, the group that maybe held that team together while it was, I don't want to say floundering, because they were never terrible last year, but there was definitely a time when the Chiefs weren't in that Super Bowl conversation for a minute, or at least at the bottom end of it. So, yeah, that's kind of the direction I would probably tend to head.
Eric, you know, do you think, because I was thinking that the Ravens have Kansas City really at the best time they could. I mean, you look at Kelsey, I don't know how much working out he's doing, because he's in London, he's in Dublin, you know, he's all over the place at these Swift concerts and stuff. And so getting them, and you got, you know, new wide receiver with Marquise, new wide receiver with Worthy. So playing them on September 5th, do you think that's the best time to play them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you could say, hey, look, here's a team that lost in the opener last year to the Lions at home, you know, didn't play their best football really until December. So there's absolutely a case to be made for that. I think the Chiefs also look back at last year and say, hey, we – you know, we left some meat on the bone in that opener. And again, it's one game, different matchup and all that stuff. But yeah, I would tend to say that playing a team that's, you know, and everybody's undergoing changes, but, you know, they're trying to identify people not named Travis Kelce who they can depend on offensively. And, you know, there's that offensive line that may, you know, we have maybe glossed over a little bit and said, okay, they're fine there, but are they? You know, that's another question that rises up. But then again, you could say the same for the Ravens, too. They've got to figure out some jobs up front. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it kind of works both ways, I think.
Eric, what about the AFC East? What do you think happened? You know, I mean, Tua's, you know, they're working on his contract. Tyreek Hill wants a contract. Who knows who the receivers are in Buffalo? Can Rodgers stay healthy? What do you think about the East?
Yeah, obviously the Bills are the team that I think a lot of people are looking at and saying, hey, they're just not going to be as good as last year. And maybe that's the case. I just have a hard time writing them off completely. I know they, you know, had the early bloodletting in free agency and then decided, hey, Stephon Diggs, you know, we can get something for him and shed that contract from our rolls. Let's do that now. I think you'd always want to trade a guy a year early than a year late, and I think that's probably the case here. But there was also kind of a shift towards getting away from him and not using Gabe Davis or trying to depend on him as much. So they were already starting to prepare for that last year. I don't think they're going to start out like gangbusters. There'll be a period where we kind of are figuring out how much can Josh Allen shoulder the load himself, how much is that defense going to be able to hold up. They lost guys on that side. So they're the fascinating one to me. Obviously, the Jets, you could say, are fascinating too, given that, you know, last year went sideways, what, four plays into the season. So, you know, there's a big range of outcomes for them. That defense is good. You know, Breece Hall is good. Garrett Wilson is good. If they are at all competent offensively and Rodgers is healthy, they'll have a chance. So, you know, Miami is kind of in the middle in the sense that, you know, they were the, you know, regular season heroes, started out really well, and then all those injuries mounted. They lost some key guys this offseason, O-line, D-line. The trenches aren't nearly as strong. And I think you put the Patriots fourth until further notice, but it's a pretty intriguing top three right there. I mean, that, you know, that's three teams that you can make a case for 7-9, or you can make a case for, you know, 12-5, 13-4 for all three of them, I think.
Now, an interesting one's going to be the AFC South. I mean, Lawrence just got paid. You know, what's he going to be? Can Houston be like they were last year? Is C.J. Stroud going to be that good? What's Will Levis like? And then Richardson, you know, we don't know really much about him either.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there are four young quarterbacks in that division that, you know, if Levis pays off, you know, he could be a surprise. Obviously, Richardson and, you know, in about a game and a half last year, you know, total ever all the snaps he took, it wasn't that many, but there were some intriguing skills there. And yet he's still kind of dealing with some shoulder pain. They say he's going to be ready. Who knows? But if those two develop and emerge at all as playmakers, we don't look at the AFC South the same way, I don't think. So they're, you know, Tennessee loaded up in free agency. They traded for Snead. They went out and got a playmaker in Calvin Ridley. You know, beefed up the O-line with their first-round pick and Lloyd Cushenberry. And, you know, Jacksonville was 8-3 at one point before tailing off last year. They were the team on the comm that everyone was excited about. And then the Texans kind of sweep through and shock everybody last year. Now they're the young and up-and-coming team. So, again, I there's a lot of excitement in the AFC South all of a sudden. And it starts with the quarterback position. If that position develops. Now you're talking about a really, really intriguing four teams here.
Eric, in the NFL, who could be that team like Houston was this past year? Who's going to be that team that shocks everybody? It's like, damn, where'd they come from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think I've heard people suggest a lot of different options for this. I've heard, you know, maybe the Washington Redskins are an interesting one. I mean, or the Commanders, I should say. Excuse me.
That's all right.
Old habits and all that, right?
I'm right there with you. So is
you
Bob.
You do it for 25 years, and that's what happens. But, yeah, if Jaden Daniels is, I mean, I think he's got to be right there, 1A, 1B with Caleb Williams for Rookie of the Year, early, you know, projections and all that. Because if you keep him healthy, he's got a number one receiver. they'll forge a run game. Maybe the defense can make some strides. If he leads them to wins, we know how down everyone has been over the last couple of decades on the whole. You know, I think that'll earn them a lot of sentiment. I think they could be a team that surprises people. They had a quietly sound off season. I really thought that Adam Peters did some smart targeted additions. I thought the draft kind of came to them very nicely and lined up well. So there's some stuff to get excited about. And you could poke some holes in Dallas. They have some things going on, even after a great regular season. Philly is a talented team that should be back, but no guarantees on that. I mean, we saw how frustrating things were last year. And then, you know, I mean, I just think there's a chance with the Giants still kind of deciding what their identity is, especially quarterback. Maybe Washington's a team that sneaks up on some people this year.
Eric at HomeNFL.com. Last thing for you, Eric, go to the NFC North. Detroit's good. Green Bay's good. Minnesota, you mentioned Caleb Williams. You have more confidence in either the Vikings or the Bears as we sit here on July
8th. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, not knowing what they're going to do at that position, how they handle it. Is it Sam Darnold to start out and then J.J. takes over? I'm a little hesitant to throw all my support there, but you know, once Hawkinson's healthy again, he's a quality tight end. Jefferson, Addison, two great receivers. They sign Aaron Jones. Some excitement there. But Chicago, based on the way they play down the stretch and what they've done in the offseason, it's a schedule that's very manageable, too. Chicago's schedule is they can withstand Caleb Williams not being a star from day one. And I think that helps them out and maybe ends up being the difference.
Eric at home, NFL.com. Eric, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your air quotes vacation before things start to pick up intensely here in the next 10 days
or so. Sooner than we think. So I appreciate it.
All right, Eric.
Eric at home, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, going to take a trip through the funhouse, Nolan McGraw. Then we're going to feed you some more football. You want it, you need it, you're going to get it with NFL Lunch. 5881057 The Fan coming up, being the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. NFL Lunch, Ravens rookies, as you know by now, if you haven't, we've been telling you. July 13th, that's this weekend. They report a week from today. Lamar Jackson, the quarterbacks, and injured vets will be there. July 20th, full team reports. July 21st, training camp starts.
So on a Sunday.
Yeah. Open to the media. So there you go.
Yep, 2 weeks from yesterday, I'll be at practice. It's going to be, I'll tell you what, it just seems like the draft was just yesterday.
Seems like the AFC Championship game
was
yesterday. I was pulling into my driveway, leaving the casino there, Brew Brothers, and here we are.
Yeah.
We training camp about to start in less than 2 weeks. Caps have a new GM, Vinny, Chris Patrick. Who's he?
Chris Patrick, he was working in the organization, and all they elevated him, and Brian McClellan just moved up to president. And you know what? You know who did that a few years back? Was Vegas did that a few years back when George McPhee was a GM, and I can't remember who, but it was a guy who had been had opportunities to go elsewhere as a GM, so they wanted to keep him. So then George moved up to president, and they elevated the other guy to GM, and I'm not sure if that's what the Caps did too, because McClellan took over for George McPhee at the Caps.
Dan Hurley, who's led UConn to back-to-back national championships, 6-year deal worth $50 million. So he turned down, remember, $670 million from the Lakers, who eventually hired J.J. Redick. So Dan Hurley sticking around the collegiate ranks, highly paid at that. Nolan, get in here before we get to the funhouse, because we did promise the people a little funhouse trip here. So has anything changed in your life over the last 59 minutes or so?
No, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's, I'm still here.
Cause you're always evolving.
The paycheck was still the same.
Yes. There you go. That's what doesn't evolve is the compensation for the work that we put in. All right, let's go to fun out.
Quick draws. Fun house. The rudeness, chillness, like text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says Mountcastle and Westberg were the biggest Orioles all-star snubs, in my opinion. There was a case to be made for Mountie having a better season overall than Vlad Jr. Meanwhile, Westberg may be lost in the shuffle as a lesser-known name.
Yeah, ESPN.com, one of their analytic guys, broke down his numbers, and across the board in the advanced metrics, Westberg we're talking about, absolutely should be an all-star. And with Mountcastle, look, Vlad sucked for the first 2.5 months of the season, got hot in June, and he's more of a fancy name, we guess, and that's why he got the nod. But hey, this guy could be playing for another team in another 3 weeks. Vlad Jr., that is. So we shall follow that one with great interest.
Another one here says, hopefully Corbin Burns chooses to participate in the All-Star game. I would think he's got to be the top choice to start the game for the AL. It would be cool to have him throwing to Adley on a national stage with Gunnar playing short behind him. Even with the snubs, a lot to be proud of this season.
Yeah, 3 games up in the division. Rolling along nicely, thank you very much, with a decimated pitching staff, 3 starters out for the season. Danny Coulomb next to Kimbrel, your best relief pitcher. He's out until September, and I guess that's an optimistic return date. Yeah, there's a lot to be proud of, and I think the best is yet to come. We'll see what happens over the next 22 days with Mike Elias burning them phones up. But yes, Burns pitches Wednesday, which would line him up nicely, thank you very much, to start in Arlington if he chooses to go.
Speaking of the pitching, the bullpen, this texter says, I'm hoping that Cano has turned the corner as of late. Hyde's been throwing him out there out of necessity. He's strung together 4 good outings, just 1 hit and 1 walk in that span. He doesn't have to be the unhittable all-star that he was last year. Just be a quality setup, man.
Yeah, just do what you did for the first half of last year and for most of the second half. He's been hitting a lot of bats this year. Inherited runners, you know, they've been reaching home plate. But as the texter pointed out, he looked real sharp yesterday. Look, the formula is get 6, 7 innings from your starting pitcher. Then it's Webb, Cano, Kimbrel, and let's go home with a W. But they're going to need some help for sure.
And one more here. This texter says, forget the all-star snubs. The biggest snub of all is not having the all-star festivities hosted here in Baltimore. It's got to happen in the next 5 years with new ownership now in place. No more excuses.
I'd be willing to guarantee you the all-star game will be in Baltimore within the next 5 or 6 years because the next couple of games have already been decided. But it's been over 30 years. This is the stadium that every other city has patterned their stadiums after. Camden Yards, it went well back in 93. No reason to not have it here again. And I think they will get this thing rolling. The whole Masson lawsuit might have been a deterrent there when it was all said and done with Major League Baseball. We'll come back, head up on lunch, feed you some football, talk about the second round pick for the Ravens as we break down the rookie class with Vinny Serrato, American League East reporter around 1:15, and then Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Get his thoughts on who got snubbed and look ahead to this week's games with the last place Cubbies and the fading Yankees. 5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fed coming up being the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. NFL lunch, Ravens rookies, as you know by now, if you haven't, we've been telling you, July 13th, that's this weekend. They report a week from today, Lamar Jackson, the quarterbacks, and injured vets will be there. July 20th, full team reports. July 21st, training camp starts.
So on a Sunday.
Yep. Open to the media. So there you go.
Yep, 2 weeks from yesterday, I'll be at practice. It's going to be, oh, man, I'll tell you what, it just seems like the draft was just yesterday.
Seems like the AFC Championship game
was
yesterday. I was pulling into my driveway, leaving the casino there, Brew Brothers, and here we are.
Yeah.
We training camp about to start in less than 2 weeks. Caps have a new GM, Vinny, Chris Patrick. Who's he?
Chris Patrick, he was working in the organization, and they elevated him, and Brian McClellan just moved up to president. And you know what? You know who did that a few years back was Vegas. Did that a few years back when George McPhee was a GM, and I can't remember who, but it was a guy who had been had opportunities to go elsewhere as a GM, so they wanted to keep him. So then George moved up to president, and they elevated the other guy to GM, and I'm not sure if that's what the Caps did too, because McClellan took over for George McPhee at the Caps.
Dan Hurley, who's led UConn to back-to-back national championships, six-year deal worth $50 million. So he turned down, remember, $670 million from the Lakers, who eventually hired J.J. Redick. So Dan Hurley sticking around the collegiate ranks, highly paid at that. Nolan, get in here before we get to the funhouse, because we did promise the people a little funhouse trip here. So has anything changed in your life over the last 59 minutes or so?
No, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's I'm still here.
Because you're always evolving.
The paycheck was still the same.
Yes, there you go. That's what doesn't evolve is the compensation for the work that we put in. All right, let's go to funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, chillness, text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says Mountcastle and Westberg were the biggest Orioles all-star snubs, in my opinion. There was a case to be made for Mountie having a better season overall than Vlad Jr. Meanwhile, Westberg may be lost in the shuffle as a lesser-known name.
Yeah, ESPN.com, one of their analytic guys, broke down his numbers, and across the board in the advanced metrics, Westberg we're talking about, absolutely should be an all-star. And with Mountcastle, look, Vlad sucked for the first 2.5 months of the season, got hot in June, and he's more of a fancy name, we guess. And that's why he got the nod. But, hey, this guy could be playing for another team in another 3 weeks. Vlad Jr., that is. So we shall follow that one with great interest.
Another one here says, hopefully Corbin Burns chooses to participate in the All-Star game. I would think he's got to be the top choice to start the game for the AL. It would be cool to have him throwing to Adley on a national stage with Gunnar playing short behind him. Even with the snubs, a lot to be proud of this season.
Yeah, 3 games up in the division. Rolling along nicely, thank you very much, with a decimated pitching staff. 3 starters out for the season. Danny Coulomb next to Kimbrel, your best relief pitcher. He's out until September, and I guess that's an optimistic return date. Yeah, there's a lot to be proud of, and I think the best is yet to come. We'll see what happens over the next 22 days with Mike Elias burning them phones up. But yes, Burns pitches Wednesday, which would line him up nicely, thank you very much, to start in Arlington if he chooses to go.
Speaking of the pitching, the bullpen, this texter says, I'm hoping that Cano has turned the corner as of late. Hyde's been throwing him out there out of necessity. He's strung together 4 good outings, just 1 hit and 1 walk in that span. He doesn't have to be the unhittable all-star that he was last year. Just be a quality setup, man.
Yeah, just do what you did for the first half of last year and for most of the second half. He's been hitting a lot of bats this year. Inherited runners, you know, they've been reaching home plate. But as the texter pointed out, he looked real sharp yesterday. Look, the formula is get 6-7 innings from your starting pitcher. Then it's Webb, Cano, Kimbrel, and let's go home with a W. But they're going to need some help for sure.
And one more here. This texter says, forget the all-star snubs. The biggest snub of all is not having the all-star festivities hosted here in Baltimore. It's got to happen in the next 5 years with new ownership now in place. No more excuses.
I'd be willing to guarantee you the all-star game will be in Baltimore within the next 5 or 6 years, because the next couple of games have already been decided. But it's been over 30 years. This is the stadium that every other city has patterned their stadiums after. Camden Yards, it went well back in 93. No reason to not have it here again. And I think they will get this thing rolling. The whole Masson lawsuit might have been a deterrent there when it was all said and done with Major League Baseball. We'll come back at Up on Lunch, feed you some football, talk about the second round pick for the Ravens as we break down the rookie class with Vinny Serrato, American League East reporter around 1:15, and then Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Get his thoughts on who got snubbed and look ahead to this week's games with the last place Cubbies and the fading Yankees.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.